Welcome to Energy Efficiency Markets Podcast, where we provide news and analysis about energy markets and trends.
This is Lisa Cohn from RealEnergyWriters.com. Here today on EE Markets, our guest is Michael Butler, Chairman and CEO of Cascadia Capital. He's back to give us his financial predictions for sustainable industries in 2011.
Be sure to pick up our free Energy Efficiency Markets newsletter at RealEnergyWriters.com.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good. So as I mentioned just a minute ago, we'd love to hear where energy efficiency fits in to your predictions, but we're also interested in, you know, where efficiency ranks.
Sure. I think there's several trends that we're seeing this year. The first is a lot of the investors that were active in wind and to a lesser extent solar are looking at natural gas as an alternative investment vehicle. A lot of energy spent looking at the natural gas value chain and how they can play in that value chain. So natural gas is going to be an area that sees a lot of investment from traditional renewable energy investors. I think the view is that natural gas is a bridge between coal and oil and renewable energy. And it's plentiful, and the penetration of natural gas in the energy industry is increasing, and investors see a long-term trend and are jumping on it. So we're seeing investment in technology that compresses natural gas. We're seeing investment in transportation technology. So it's going to be a viable growth area within the energy sector for not only this year, but probably the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. So they see it as a bridge, meaning it's less expensive than solar and wind?
Less expensive than solar and wind, and the infrastructure is already in place.
Mm-hmm. Right?
There's already a lot of natural gas infrastructure in place, so you can scale up natural gas very, very quickly now, more quickly than you can wind and solar. And I think everyone still expects wind and solar to develop, but right now, if you're an investor and you're looking where to put your money, the near-term return on natural gas is greater than on wind or solar, simply because there's already this infrastructure in place and you can get a very quick return on natural gas.
That all assumes, of course, that we need new power plants. You're referring mostly to power plants or also transportation?
Also transportation. I think there's a view in the market among investors that a lot of the big fleet vehicles, trucks and others, are not going to be electrified. It's going to be natural gas that drives the buses and the FedEx trucks and other large vehicles.
Now, do we have enough natural gas out there right now?
I think what's driving a lot of this is the shale discovery, right? The shale gas, and while there is some controversy about how it's being pulled out, there is plentiful gas, enough gas to last decades and decades. So it's a very big theme in the markets right now.
Interesting. And that's different from last year, obviously.
Yes, this is probably, we've seen this move in the last 3 to 5 months, where it's now very pronounced, and I think it's happening. It's definitely happening.
So now, where does energy efficiency fit into this?
I would say if natural gas is 1, energy efficiency is 1A. I think there are two things going on with energy efficiency. One, investors are finding that it makes more economic sense to save a watt of electricity than to generate it. So that's a big theme. And secondly, energy efficiency utilizes software technology.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about improving the grid, when you think about putting brains around energy use, you think about software technology.
Mm-hmm.
And from an investor standpoint, the big benefit of software technology is you can create a company that uses software technology for $10, $15, $20 million,
mm-hmm.
unlike 200, 300, 400 for a solar company or a wind company. So it's a very capital efficient business model. And as we've come out of this downturn, investors right now are focused on capital efficiency. How do I get the best return on a dollar invested? And they're looking at companies that can be built on $10, $20, $30, $40 million. in the technology, the clean tech sector, that leads you to software. And where does software play? Software really plays well in energy efficiency and smart grid. And investors are starting to think about smart grid as just part of energy efficiency. How do you make the grid smarter to save energy? And so software technology is coming to the forefront, and it's a very very hot investment theme for investors. And I think it continues. I think it continues not only for this year, but probably 3 to 5 years.
And can you give any examples of the type of software you're talking about?
Yeah, so a perfect example would be Optimum Energy, a company located in Seattle that uses software technology to make chillers more efficient in buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And they just signed a big deal with Johnson Controls just a couple days ago. And Optimum is an energy efficiency company because they save energy usage in buildings, and it's all based on software technology.
Okay, so that's not necessarily a smart grid technology.
No, but I think the next step in that is taking that information in the buildings based on software and moving it back into the smart grid. Right? I think the view is you think about smart grid and saving energy through smarter appliances, smarter use of energy. You think about energy back to the grid. So it's a vertical change from the end user back to the grid. And that all is now coming under the heading of energy efficiency. So whereas energy efficiency and smart grid had been considered two separate sectors, I think there's a convergence, and most people are saying smart grid is part of energy efficiency at the end of the day.
Right. Although it also integrates renewable energy as well, but I understand what you're saying.
Absolutely.
That's really interesting. So we're seeing so more investments going in that direction, especially toward the software companies.
Yes, absolutely. One of the challenges for the renewable energy or clean tech sector has been the capital intensity of the sector for wind and solar and waste energy. And in the boom times, 2006, 2007, capital was plentiful. And so investors were more prone to put more to work than less. We have now entered an environment that will last for some time where capital efficiency is really the byword of the day. How do you put in less money but get more out of it? And so software becomes a subsector that really benefits from the capital efficiency move, and that's what's driving the investments in energy efficiency and smart grid. Virtually 80-90% of the investments in energy efficiency or smart grid are software-based technologies.
That's interesting. Now, you gave me a number, and I'm not sure I got it, in terms of what's a good capital. Did you say 20 to 40 million?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is you can build a profitable standalone energy efficiency smart grid company on 24 million of invested capital if it's a software-based technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, contrast that with, you know, solar companies and other capital-intensive companies that take $300-500 million to get to profitability. So an investor is saying, "Boy, if I can invest $20-40 million to get a company to profitability, that's a lot less risky than investing $300-400 million."
Right.
And so we're clearly seeing a trend where less is better, and that contrasts to 3-4 years ago where more was better.
I think that's going to last for a while.
Oh, I definitely think that's going to last for a while. I think it's at least a 3-year trend.
It's really interesting, and it makes perfect sense. In terms of, so you mentioned number one and number 1A. What would number 1B or 2 be?
I think it'd probably be storage.
Okay.
We are seeing continued investment in storage, whether it's battery technology, whether it's flywheel technology, underground compression technology. Storage is still a holy grail, and there are a lot of companies that are trying to develop storage capability. So there still is a lot of investment in storage. And then following storage, I'd say solar. Solar is still getting capital, more the project side than the company side.
Mm-hmm.
It is very geographic specific. So we're seeing a lot of activity in Ontario, where they have feed-in tariffs, and a lot of activity in California. So it's more geographic specific.
Right. But they're But they're prompted by the incentives.
Yes, yes, it is driven by the incentives.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I know the solar industry saw a huge growth last year. I think I don't know if it was doubled or, but it definitely grew.
Yeah, it's definitely growing. To a certain extent, at the expense of wind. Wind is definitely in a cyclical downturn right now.
Now, when you talk about storage, you're talking about any kind of energy storage?
Yeah, any kind of energy storage. A lot of battery, a lot of flywheel, a lot of ultracapacitor, underground air compression. There's a lot of different types of storage that people are trying to create, but it's all for energy storage. And that, you know, there's two ways to deal with the intermittency of solar and wind. One is to have a smart grid that you know, allocates that that intermittent resource effectively and maybe shuts down some of the other power plants when there's a lot of wind or a lot of solar. So smart grid is one way to deal with it. The other is to have storage. And so there's a lot of money going into storage. And whoever cracks that nut's going to make a lot of money.
Right. Yeah, I ran a story. It was based on a report that said that with energy storage, I can't remember. It was one of the states in the West could meet all its needs with renewable energy, but it really needed to invest in storage.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the technology's not there. And what's interesting, though, what we're seeing and what we're hearing in the marketplace is that the cutting edge development in storage is not happening necessarily where you would expect it. So, for example, what we're hearing from investors is that there are some very, very interesting companies doing some very innovative things in Indiana, of all places. So, you know, a lot of the people from the auto industry, you know, have moved into battery technology and are creating very cutting edge, very interesting companies that investors are looking to invest in the Rust Belt. And Indiana is when you talk to investors, is the first place people cite for interesting companies doing interesting things around battery and storage technology.
That's really interesting. Are you allowed to name some of the companies?
Probably not. I don't know if the investor that I talked to would want me naming them, because I think he's looking to invest in some of them. But there's clusters starting to develop in the Midwest.
Right. I'm sure it wouldn't be hard to find them.
No, probably not.
Yeah. Well,
the key is picking the very best ones.
Right. Well, Michael, this has been really interesting. You actually kind of surprised me. And I appreciate you joining us again, and we have to have you back soon.
My pleasure, Lisa. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to pick up our free energy efficiency markets newsletter at realenergywriters.com.